This is Aviator Cast, episode 26, Punching Fog and Kissing Clouds.
Calling all aviators, pilots, and aviation lovers. Welcome to Aviator Cast, where we close the gap between real aviation and flight simulation. Climb aboard, buckle up, and prepare for takeoff. Here's your host, Chris Palmer.
Welcome, 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 aviators. You've landed at Aviator Cast. My name is Chris Palmer. Whether it be foggy weather, clear, thunderstorms, ice, snow, rain, cirrus, stratus, cumulus, I just love to be up there with it all. Of course, not in the dangerous stuff, but amidst a world of white puffy cotton balls and favorable winds aloft, of course, I get there by flying. I'm the founder and owner of Angle of Attack, a flight simulation training company, which is bringing you this podcast today. Aviator Cast is a weekly podcast where we talk about the spirit of the aviator. We believe flying is an art form, one that we have to continually practice and master. This mastery is gained through a focus on continual learning, human factors, humility, and a commitment to excellence. Each episode of Aviator Cast will have real flight training and flight simulation topics, or an interview with an inspirational and influential aviator. Our desire and mission is not only to create awesome aviators, but also bridge the gap between real aviation and flight simulation. Show notes, transcript, community discussion, and links for this episode can be found by simply going to aviatorcast.com. So welcome to this, the 26th episode of Aviator Cast. We have an awesome show for you guys today. First, we're going to get to a review from iTunes. This comes from Ruroar from the United States. He says, one of the very best, 5 stars. A great blend of simulation and real-life aviation presented in a fun and interesting way. This podcast really bridges the two worlds well, while at the same time emphasizing their differences and similarities. Thanks for that, Ruroar. Really appreciate it. And if you want to leave a review on iTunes, that is the primary way that people find out about our show. Subscribe and learn more about this great passion for flight simulation and for real aviation that we have. And it can help them along their way. So today we have a fantastic episode for you. In this episode, we have a Hangar Talk interview with Tim and Reed from Rex Game Studios, famous for Real Environment Extreme. If you're serious about flight simulation as a hobbyist or a professional pilot, these guys have a product you simply can't pass up. What they have is a texture and weather generation program that puts shockingly realistic-looking weather into your simulator. There will be many times you can't tell if this is real or a simulator. It's that good. I myself am an avid user of their products. We use their products in our video training, and they are also something that I recommend to any person using a flight simulator. So I don't want to waste too much time with the details and telling you about how great it is, so let's jump right in. This is Hangar Talk with Tim and Reed from Real Environment Extreme.
Now, a special Hangar Talk segment.
All right, everybody, we are honored to have the team from Real Environment Extreme today. We have Reed and Tim. How are you guys doing?
Great. How are you?
Doing fantastic. It's good to finally catch up with you guys. I know that that our listeners are lovers of your product. I'm not sure of anyone that that don't love your product. So it's really great to have you guys on the show because you're industry leaders in flight simulation, and I'm really excited to talk about your products today.
Well, thanks, Prince. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Not a problem. So we're going to get into what you guys do in flight simulation. We're also going to talk about what your products can do or are doing for actual flight training. But first, I kind of want to talk about some things outside that, maybe the core of who you guys are. So my first big question that I ask every person on Hangar Talk here is, how did you guys fall in love with aviation?
Well, Tim, I'll let you go first on that one.
Well,
no pressure.
Okay. No pressure. Okay. Well, you know, we all grow up. We're all, you know, kids at some point in our life, and we all, you know, dream about flying and flight. So, you know, of course, when I was growing up, we didn't have computers and we didn't have simulations. We had paper airplanes, and, you know, our imagination did the trick. So, you know, that just kind of stuck with me as I was growing up. And, you know, I kind of got in the field of thrown into the field of aviation. I became a creative director for a major airline. And, you know, the perks along with that, I got to fly in the cockpit all the time. I made friends with a lot of pilots. And, you know, I sit in jump seat with pilots everywhere I went for years. And it's just dreaming I could be behind those controls.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was what an incredible, incredible experience. And that really got me into simulators. Because, you know, at the time, you know, this is 92, 93, I don't remember which Microsoft version was out, but one of my pilot friends turned me on to it, and I was just completely hooked since then. So, you know, unfortunately nowadays you're not able to get into the cockpits. And, you know, when I share my stories of those experiences in detail with some people, they're like, just wow, incredible. You know, so I got to see what it was like to be a pilot, actually, you know, for right. You know, a major airline pilot for years, you know, and it was just what a wonderful experience. And, you know, taking that into the simulator and it's just incredible. So I was hooked ever since then, pretty much.
Great.
So that's kind of my story, but, you know, in a nutshell. So
great, great. Love it. All right, Reed, you're up.
Okay. Well, mine was kind of a threefold attack, so to speak. The first aspect of flying was just from a standpoint that I've always had an interest in weather and the sky and the atmosphere and so forth, and aviation being very closely tied to that. And my uncle, when I was younger and he was in his teens and early college years, started taking private pilot's license. Lessons, and he would share about what he was doing and the ties to weather and all that. And I got more and more interested in it from that standpoint. And then there was my first vacation with our family down to Florida, and we went on a Boeing 727. And it was just awe-inspiring for me to be able to look out the window and just see how small things were, and to be up with the clouds right next to you, and to see storms off in the distance with lightning, and just to be a part of that and experience that. And from that time period, those three elements have just grown inside of me more and more and more. And I got into flight sim because of that, because you know, it's expensive, first of all, to fly. And being a father of seven kids, it's almost nearly impossible to go and take pilot's license. But that's a goal in my life. Once my kids get out of the household, is to take get a pilot's license if I'm able to
yeah.
at that point. But just because it's just so wonderful to have that kind of freedom that's up there. And the wonderful thing about flight simulation is you get a little taste of that. Obviously, you're still, you know, tied to a computer, so to speak, but it gives you a little bit more of an experience that's close to that. So that's where I fall in love with aviation.
Great. One of the really interesting things that I'm already seeing here in this conversation is that you guys are really passionate about aviation, obviously, yet you didn't go the route of necessarily becoming a pilot, but that doesn't mean that you're not involved with aviation on a day-to-day basis. You know, what you guys have done is you've built this company that completely changes the simulator environment, and we'll get more into the details of kind of what you do and what your product is. One thing I want to get into before that, kind of as a transition from how you fell in love with aviation to what you guys are doing now with Rex Game Studios, is what's your startup story as a company? So how did you guys get together? How did you get in simulation? At what point did you figure out, you know, this is actually a product that someone could need, so let's try to work on it? Tell the listeners about that startup story.
Okay. Well,
yeah, I'll take this one. I'll tell my side. You can tell your side. So basically, before I met Tim, I was doing the WeatherMaker weather engine product, and it was really kind of out of a hobby at first, and then it kind of started taking more and more of an effort on my part to be more wanting more out of the weather in flight sim. At first, I didn't even know that you could do something with that. Then once I learned how to do it and learned how to manipulate the weather, it's like I wanted to take it further. During the time that I was getting more and more involved into it, the competition was becoming extremely higher level, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And from a personal standpoint, I knew for me to stay in this market, even though I was not working at it full time like I am now with Rex Game Studios, I knew I was going to have to take it to the next level. I was not the artist. I do not have the artistic ability to see things like others do, specifically like Tim does, mm-hmm. from the texture standpoint and so forth. So I was beginning to look for means in which I can marry WeatherMaker with some kind of texture product, and we can make it all one host product. And found Tim. He had showed some of his textures on one of the flight sim forums out there, and and basically just said, "Hey, let's talk." And come to find out, we both lived in Phoenix, which made it even better. Jeez. And we met one time for dinner and started talking about our passions and our passions for flight sim and what we want to see happen. And it all kind of started from there. And from there, it's just grown and grown and grown and grown. And well, there's been many times we've had our business meetings, we've sat back and contemplated, where it all started and where we're at now. And it's just hard to believe it's gone this long, but also just has gone to the point of where it's at now.
Right.
So that's kind of my side of the story.
Very cool. Sounds like the stars aligned for you guys being in the same spot and all that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I was very shocked when I I made a software package, maybe 10 years ago for Flight Sim 2004, and it went really well. It was like one of the most downloaded softwares for Flight Simulator. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, I'm doing something kind of cool here. So I'll just keep it moving, just keep going. And I got noticed by one of the other high-end developers out there, and which I teamed up with, and things didn't go too well with that. So I went back on my own and, just started showing people, seeing what the interest was. I really wasn't thinking it was going to go too big. But, after a million views and, thousands and thousands of pages of correspondence from people and giving feedback, I thought, okay, well, this is getting pretty serious. So I knew about Reed. I knew about one of his products that he came out with years ago, and I enjoyed it. It was just a different approach than what was out there at the time. So I thought, okay, I'm going to give it a shot. Just contact him and see where it goes. So it turns out, as he said, he's here in the Valley, and I just couldn't believe it. So we met. We hit it off really well, and it just took off from there.
Yeah.
Great. And how long have you guys been in business? How long was it since that first meeting?
Was it 2006, Reed?
Yeah, it was 2006.
It was 2006 or 2007, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
So around the time the FSX was in beta testing and ready to come out, right?
I believe so. No. I think
it had come out. Yeah. And I think we were I think it was 2007 because it was late 2007 because mm-hmm. it was 2008 when we actually came out with the first version of Rex.
Gotcha.
So because it took us about a year to bring everything together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The cool thing is we have a lot of interests that are the same too. We're really interested in music and it's just really weird how it all worked out. So
that's great.
Yeah, we just clicked. Just totally just clicked.
Yeah.
And that's that's huge in business. Just speaking to business is finding a symbiotic partnership like that. It's
sure.
It's very, very huge to find that. And a lot of people never find that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so now we kind of know where you guys came from. Now we're going to talk about your flight simulation products. So you just mentioned that you had your first product that came out with FSX. So tell us a little bit about the product line history of what you guys have come out with, and also explain to the listeners what it actually is that you guys have created and how you differentiate yourself from other people that may have similar products.
Well, I guess I'll go ahead and start. And again, I think we both can talk about this because I come from more of a weather aspect and more of the weather engine aspect. Tim comes from the more texture and artistic aspect of things, which I think really makes our product really unique. It's not just, okay, let's decide to do this and let's make it happen. We both have a passion in the area that we have. And I think from day one, that passion has been seen in each of our products that we've done, and in each growth of that product. That we wanted to not only take Flight Sim for what it is, but take it to the next level as much as we possibly can, and bring more of a realism, as closer to realism as we possibly can. Obviously, I mean, there's obviously some big hurdles there, but take that not only from a weather standpoint, an operation standpoint, but also from a environment and a feel and what you're flying through, and I think both all those products have exemplified that in a marriage of those goals really well. And we've only tried to improve on those even more. Like, for example, starting out with Rex One, when it first came out, it just had a base package of textures, which were a cut above anything else that was on the market there. And then we married within that a basic flight planner as well as a weather engine at the same time. From that standpoint, we took that into the FS2004 world, and then we took a version of that into the X-Plane world, being with X-Plane 9. Now we've tend to regroup a little bit as a company, and we improved on that with Rex 2, and took that to the next level by giving the overdrive package out there to our customers, which really kind of took the textures that we had and took a whole new approach to new textures with overdrive and put it to a new level that's not been there before. And then we improved on the other aspects of understandings that we had with the weather engine and what we could and could not do and so forth. And then we decided, well, let's make this even more realistic. Let's add, you know, flight aware integration into Rex Essentials, and let's make that, you know, the flight planner more robust and make it more tied in and so forth with what we've got texture wise. And then there was the whole new avenue of prepared 3D coming into the picture at that point in time. So with all of that, we were able to put all that into one package within Rex Essentials, Rex Essentials Plus, and Overdrive and so forth. And really that project in itself encompassed a lot of our time and effort bringing that together. Now we're moving into a new phase with Rex Direct products, which are completely different in a lot of ways than what we've approached with our previous products, because we've learned a lot what works, what doesn't work, and so forth. And now we're putting that into Rex Direct.
Great.
So I don't know, Tim, if you want to add something to that.
How could I possibly add to that?
So basically, you guys can correct me. Let me kind of sum this up for the listeners. Basically, what you guys have, you said you started in 2007, right? So
yeah.
Over the years, you've released versions of your software for FS2004, and actually is FSX that was first, and then FS2004, X-Plane, Prepared. So you have these different versions. Now, for my understanding, and it kind of evolves with each product that you have, which I like, which means that you guys are actually interacting with the community and changing your product for the better, and also being forward-thinking. But the way I define real environment extreme and kind of the different aspects of that live within your software is basically you completely change the environment, look and feel of the simulator. And in addition to that, you have a software that will give you real world weather, weather depiction based on your own wants and needs, especially coming up with one of the products that we'll talk about later. And so basically it changes that whole environment, but you guys have done that in a way that is incredibly creative. It's beautiful. It looks like the real thing. Whereas if you compare that to the default simulator is just terrible. They don't even look like clouds. However, you know instantly if someone has Rex installed because it looks like a real thunderstorm head or an anvil head or whatever it is, because you've taken so much time to make sure that the creative side of that is taken care of. So essentially what you do is you change the environment, you make it realistic, you make it more immersive, and you make it more believable, which is what everyone wants to get after, which is part of the realism thing. So
sure.
Anything to add to that definition of what you guys do? I'm sure I'm missing something there.
Well, you know, I think what sets us apart, you know, and I'm talking environment texture wise is, you know, a lot of our competitors or most of the competitors out there, they're just throwing clouds in. You know, I got a picture of this cloud, I'm going to throw it in. I'm going to take this picture and throw it in or even contrived instances of just, you know, painting textures. Mm-hmm. You know, we really went out on a limb and have taken groupings of cloud snapshots and have classified them. And I'm not able to do that, but, you know, Reed is able to do that and classify what types of clouds work with each other and what kind of scenarios, in weather scenarios. So we've actually, you know, went and classified tens and tens of thousands of textures and grouped them together. So you wouldn't get a certain cloud type with another certain cloud type with Rex. You're always going to get something that's truly compatible in the real world.
Great.
So, and again, another thing with our textures is, you know, a lot of people in this day and age, of course, are using digital photography. Mm-hmm. You know, it's getting better, the technology. Like, but again, you lose a lot of shadow detail. You lose a lot of highlight detail. We've actually went above and beyond that and used film.
Mm-hmm.
Film. Most of our stuff is from film photography and digitally scanned. So it's very high resolution. And I see a lot of people saying, oh, it's too high res and it just looks too sharp. But really, you truly go out in the real world and look up, man. Look up in the sky.
Can you not please anybody? But, I mean, you get the high resolution they want and suddenly they're complaining.
Well, we offer the high resolution, but we also offer the same types of clouds, but as low resolution,
right,
just for
performance. Yeah.
But, you know, and I see a lot of people say this in forums, you know, oh, Rex is so unrealistic. Okay, but did you try all tens of thousands of textures we gave you? Most people open our product and they click install and they're done. And they don't realize that they have thousands upon thousands of choices to go through. So I kind of cringe when I say, oh, their textures are too sharp.
Right.
You know, well, about half of those textures are actually soft. You just haven't.
I know. Yeah.
You haven't delved into the user manual, or you just haven't delved into our software enough to realize that this is what we offer. We cover the gamut. So
definitely.
Well, here's the other aspect of that too. We're also dealing, you know, in particular with FSX. I think we're seeing a lot of great forward movement with prepared 3D, but with FSX, it's a 6-7 year platform now,
right?
Built on old technology, and it's come a huge way with all the third party add on developers. But still, in the end, when you look at it at the end, it's still we're having to use the limitations that are there. And
well, we'll get into those limitations and what we're doing.
Yeah,
we'll watch those.
Yeah, exactly.
But. And that'll be huge. So, but yeah, Reed's right. I mean, we've done so much with what we've been offered,
right?
And it's only going to get better,
right? I you know, when I mention to our customers, they say, you know, your footage looks absolutely amazing. Talking about our training, your footage looks amazing. How do you guys get your simulator to work? What software do you use? And I've said it several times, not only on this podcast, but in blog posts and things like that, that, you know, there are some very base things that you need in the simulator. things that you cannot live without in your simulator. And you guys are always in the top two. It kind of depends on what they need, but always in the top three are you guys and Orbix, almost always, just because it changes the whole environment. And really, the reason I do that is because regardless of the type of airplane they fly, regardless if they're a VFR, IFR pilot, or if they're flying some of the popular heavy metal airplanes in Flight Simulator, regardless of what type of flying you do, you can always take advantage of better weather textures, better ground textures, which you guys also offer, water textures. And then on the other side of that is the weather depiction. One of the things I tell people that are interested in simulators right off the bat, because this is just something they don't really think about, is, you can get this area here in our hometown. You can load it up in the simulator. The scenery looks absolutely realistic. You can load the real-time weather right now, and it'll look exactly the same. So it's really incredible what we can do, but, you really do need the core software, which... I mean, you may as well not even buy a simulator, in my opinion, if you're not going to have Rex installed. And that's not being biased. That's just being honest, like in my particular case. So
we agree.
Thank you.
along with Orbix. And that's not a plug. It's just we enjoy what they're doing.
Right.
And,
Yeah. They've done an incredible job of taking scenery to a new level that's never been there before.
And then to see the two mixed together, your stuff and their stuff, is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it really does take it to a new level.
One thing.
Well, we do so much testing in house, alpha testing and stuff. It's not uncommon that we're reinstalling FSX, hundreds of times a year. Mm-hmm. So the only two things I really install is our work and Orbix stuff.
Right.
There's really not much else out there that I need.
Right.
I mean, apart from all the aircraft developers, my favorites.
So. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That makes sense. One thing I was going to mention a few minutes ago when you were talking about the thousands of different texture combinations is kind of my rule of thumb, just as a tip for you guys listening out there, is my rule of thumb is every time I get into the simulator, part of my simulator pre-flight checklist, if you will, is I go in and I randomize the textures and everything until I find something that kind of fits my mood for the day. And then I install those,
I love that. Yep. I love just randomizing our stuff and just seeing what we get.
Yep. It's great. It works every time. It's always something different and makes me feel like I'm in a different part of the world and I'm flying in a different place. So it's definitely something.
Yeah, that's kind of a neat idea. We should have like a button, mood button, I'm in a dreary mood. It's a big dreary cloud. I'm in a happy mood. You get rainbows. Seriously. I mean, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
It does. I mean, you don't think about it. And I think that's where our passion is, could we get into, building aircraft and stuff like that or building scenery or things like that? There's people that do an excellent job on that, and there's no need for another person to do that. Mm-hmm. But where our passion is you're going to be flying through clouds. You're going to be flying through weather, and that is such a huge part. And then linking that, we talk about the cloud and the weather. What we don't talk about, though, is, the runways.
Right.
And the taxi, we try to match that works well so that when it is a raining environment, that runway looks like it's wet. It looks like it works well with that environment altogether. It's a lot of work. There's been times I've sat with Tim and he's handed me a book, of 50 pages of stuff. And it's like, okay, go through this and match things. It's like, okay. I'll try the best. And that's just cirrus clouds, It's just like, so you can imagine what cumulus and runways and all that stuff is. So,
yeah, definitely.
So,
well, it stands out for sure. And it's something that, that people obviously really enjoy because you guys are doing it full time and you're on now the fourth version. So I think that's what I want to get into next. I want to talk about Rex 4 Direct. Now, I know that you guys are in testing with a couple of these things. Specifically, I think Weather Direct and Weather Architect you guys are still working on. Tell us about kind of the approach now with this new line of products and what you guys are after now with this new iteration.
Well, I think, first of all, you know, we originally set out with – we sat down with all of our products and decided, okay, what are our weaknesses? What are our strengths? How can we make this better? You know, what have our customer feedback been for us? You know, what makes it easier is for to get products? One of the big – you know, I'm going to talk from a software standpoint. But and I'll let Tim go in more from his standpoint too. But I think for a software development standpoint, one of the reasons why we broke the products apart is more from a simplicity standpoint and a rapid upgrade refresh rate. One of the things with our previous products, because they were so large, trying to manage service packs and upgrades and things of that nature made it very complex. And where you know, and the reality is there's competition out there, and where they've got more simplified products, and I'm not belittling them by any means, but you know, their products might be separated apart. They're upgrading on a regular basis. And for us to stay competitive and stay on the cutting edge and moving to the next level, we really needed to simplify not the products, but simplify the products from a standpoint of an install aspect, and so that we can stay on top of them and make them better. I mean, even though we've released, for example, I know you want to talk about WeatherArchitect and WeatherDirect, even though we've released Texture Direct is not done. We've got plans to expand that product dramatically. Right now, the goal of that product was to allow people the simplicity of getting textures in quickly. One of the biggest complaints that we had with previous versions of Rex was that how long it took to get textures from the product into Flight Sim. And what people don't realize is with that product, we encrypted all of our textures. So you had to go through a decryption process. And if you're doing all the textures, there's like 150 different just tropical textures in themselves. So you're decrypting, you're now colorizing, you're now modifying. We wanted to make that process so much easier and simpler for the user. So that's why TextureRec came into play, and so that you had that simplified, easy process. Now, is it perfect? Is it done? No. Our next phase is now to bring in some editing tools where now you can start to modify some of those water textures and make them more towards what, you know, some of the things that we had as a part of Rex Essentials in a back, we want to start bringing some of those tools in now so you can now modify and enhance those to the liking that you have, but still keep the simplicity and the ease that's there and make it better. Now, in regards to WeatherArchitect and WeatherDirect, those are two different beasts. One of the things that has always been a passion on my heart, and I've shared it many times with Tim and the rest of the team, is that I feel that it's great and nice and wonderful to have real weather. Mm-hmm. But sometimes there's no weather to really fly in. And you want to fly in thunderstorms, and you want to fly in fog, and you want to, you know, you want to be able to create. Well, that's where WeatherArchitect comes into place. And in the past, we've had some tools that kind of did something like that, but we really didn't put a lot of time into that. This tool, we have taken it to a full on, it's like opening up Paint, having a map in front of you, and drawing any kind of weather you want anywhere in the world, including in the middle of the oceans, and weather will be there. The other day we were doing, well, earlier on in some of our testing, I went in and I drew like within 5 minutes a hurricane in the middle of the ocean. Well, I got out of there on my plane, I start flying out in the ocean, and boom, right in the middle of it is a hurricane, you know? And now we've just, this past couple of weeks, we've now added a more robust flight planner aspect to it. It's not going to be, you know, a full-on blown flight planner that's out there on the, you know, that some of the other third-party developers do, but it's now more robust in the sense that you can just click on the map and then the waypoints will automatically show up and everything. And you actually set waypoints around the weather, so to speak. Or if you want to fly a flight plan out towards that hurricane and back, you can do that. I mean, there's a lot of flexibility with this with WeatherArchitect that's never been there before, and it doesn't rely upon station by station, so to speak, to do that. It relies on a whole different type of approach, so to speak. And then WeatherDirect obviously is more geared towards those who want the more realistic, real weather type scenario, but at a more realistic level, we're bringing in now the grid data, upper level winds and temperature data. We've been doing a lot of testing with that, and we've been building a database for over a year now of that data. actually, we started it back in September of last year is when we started that process. We're now bringing in by the time we probably were released, whether direct, we will have a lot of that, at least a year or so's worth of data in place for that. But that in itself is a totally different approach. We're looking at that as a totally different way of handling the weather that we've done in the past. And we're working on a new approach altogether. I don't know how much I'm going to get into it because we're still in the research and development, and there are some things we can do and can do. But one of our goals that's been since the last time we've released a weather engine was the fact that we need to be more serious in this area, and we need to make sure that we're accurate, we smooth out processes so that, you know, all these common, you know, the visibilities, you know, rapidly changing, or the winds are rapidly changing, you know, clouds need to be able to change, you know, we're popping in and so forth. We're researching and developing right now a new technology that basically the goal of it is to basically replace the weather engine that's there in FSX and eventually, you know, prepare 3D.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our goal. And I'm not going to promise that right now, but that's what we're working on right now. And we've, with our latest beta test, or kind of, I would call it unit testing. It's not even beta testing. We're seeing some incredible results that's never been done before.
Great.
And we're just excited to that once we get to the point where, and you know, the kind of the interesting thing is, and a lot of people won't know this, but with a couple of these products, we actually had finished them, and then we decided, you know, this is not good enough. Let's start over, basically. Dang. And I know that sounds like, you know, corporate suicide, so to speak, but you almost have to do that in some aspects because, you know, competition's good, you know, and it's tough. It's a pain in the butt sometimes. It'd be nice to be the only one out there on the market, but that's not the reality. And the person that benefits from this is a customer because they're going to get the better product in the end run, you know, right. And it puts us, you know, in a place where we've got to strive for something better. Well, we think we're striving in the right place here, and we're going to be able to produce some unique experiences that have never been out there before.
Great.
So, and all these tie together, even though they're separate products, we're building them so that, you know, with Weather Architect, you know, you have an interface on Weather Architect where you can control what textures you want to have load and not. And if you were to open up Texture Direct, it would read the same thing. So we're tying all these products together. Because, you know, we realize people have choice out there. You know, some people may not want to use our weather engine, but they want to use our textures. Some people might want to use some other, you know, whatever. The fact of the matter is that we're tying them together so that, you know, you still have the like Rex Essentials and the previous versions of Rex, because they all work together. And even with Weather Architect, you can still load up weather based upon what kind of weather you create. Texture is based upon what kind of weather you create.
Right.
So.
Great. Tim, anything to add?
he covered the gamut again. Well done, Reed.
Thanks.
Well, you just sit in the background and be quiet then, and we'll have a conversation.
I feel bad. So. But yeah, I mean, it's so. Speaking for all of us, I think just, you know, our heart and passion is to bring a more of a realism. You know, we know the frustrations of our customers out there with the limitations that are out there. We're looking at ways to go above and beyond those limitations, and we believe we're very close to making that happen.
Great.
But, you know, again, we're not ready to promise that right now at this point in time because, you know, I'm afraid to say these things because, you know, all of a sudden it goes out there. Oh, look, well, you know, we don't want to promise that because it's still research and development.
Right.
But that's our goal.
Great.
That's our goal, you know, and we don't want to push things out there just to push them out there.
Well, it's great to see some of these aspects of what you guys are doing with it sounds like one of the core purposes of Rex 4 Direct is to get the weather in the simulator faster, but you're not sacrificing any quality doing that. And also with the addition of Weather Architect, which will come out later, is the ability to completely control your weather, which is something that I actually want to talk about more later. So you guys are obviously.
Well, actually, let me correct.
Yeah, sure.
Weather Architect will be out first.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Great. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. But I'm just clarifying for the customers that at the time of this podcast, Weather Direct and Weather Architect aren't actually out yet. What Texture Direct is. So.
Right.
Anyway. Okay, so you guys are obviously paying attention to what the community needs. You're evolving your products. You know, the first version was good enough, but it wasn't good enough for you guys, which is, it's great to see that drive in a developer that's really trying to make a difference. So what are you guys seeing now? What encouraging things are you seeing with some of the platforms that are actively being developed on, namely P3D and X-Plane 10? Can you guys tell us a bit about what your products are doing for those platforms? Probably especially P3D, just because you kind of mold over into that platform more, I think. Why don't you just take the floor on that and tell people about that?
Well, I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to let Tim talk. I tend to be a blabbermouth, so I'm going to...
Well, okay. Well, P3D, as we all know, is still being developed. It's continuous. So, and we are working with Prepare3D on a couple things currently. So, and we don't want to talk too much about that right now. But we are definitely in the loop, and we already know what's going on with Prepare3D behind the scenes, and we're actively developing for that goal. We need to reach both platforms, obviously FSX and Prepare3D together. We definitely see a rise in Prepare3D sales. You know, people are really jumping onto the P3D bandwagon, and it's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
It's an active platform being developed continuously by a very talented team. So they're doing some really cool stuff. So X-Plane 10, there's a lot of interest there for us. But to be honest, we haven't delved into it too much. We've gotten to a level where we thought, okay, we're gonna move on this, but then we kind of got set back. There's a lot of hurdles to get through with X-Plane 10. So I really don't have much to say about that platform just yet.
Okay.
You know, we obviously, as we move forward, you know, we update our forums and website with our plans. So, you know, at that time, it'll be unveiled. But just right now, we're not actively developing for it. We're just kind of just playing out there and seeing what people are wanting. We don't get a lot of interest in it just yet.
Hmm.
You know, it's shocking, but we don't. So, you know, and again, that plays a major role on our goals.
Right,
so,
and your decisions. You wouldn't want to work on something that people don't want.
Yeah, I mean, what we did for X-Plane 9 was awesome. You know, that went really well, but it didn't do as well as FSX.
Right.
Or FS2004 for that matter. So it kind of threw us off even then at the time. And it was well before X-Plane 10 was released. So we have reservations, but we're not shutting it out. We need to continue on what we're doing now and get past that point before we can make any more assessments in that matter. Right. So
I think that's wise.
Yeah.
We have like a business plan that we sit down quarterly and we go through and reevaluate what we're working on, what we should be working on and so forth. And, you know, we try to do that at least 2 to 3 years out in advance if we possibly can. And it's loosely written because we know that the market changes so quickly.
Right.
And especially lately, because, you know, there's rumors here and rumors there. And, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, somebody's buying this or somebody's doing that, you know, to the platforms. And so it's all of a sudden you're like, you know, it's kind of an emotional swing of just trying to figure out, okay, well, should we be focusing on this because now this could be possibly going away, you know, or stuff like that. There's just so much craziness right now in the market, so to speak. We just have to hone down on what we know is working right now and what our customers' greatest demands are for. And as a company, we have to do that. You know, it's not that we don't feel that X-Plane's not a viable platform or something that it's not worth building for. We do see that. It's just that right now our efforts as a company as a whole, and, you know, we don't have, you know, 50 developers working for us. We don't even have anything close to that. But we have to prioritize what's the priority of our company. And right now it's Prepared 3D, FSX. And we don't even want to forget about FS2004. There's still a lot of people still using that platform. That platform has some great benefits to it on the technologies that's there now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and runs exceptionally. I mean, I can get incredible frame rates. You know, it's almost liquid.
Right.
On the machines that are out there nowadays. And so that's not something that we're ignoring either. And there's times we want to go back and relook at those things. But, you know, so.
I think all that sounds reasonable. And I think that's important that you guys are focusing on the things that do matter, the things where the masses really are. You know, this is something I think all developers eventually have to explain to their customer base is, hey, we need to go where the numbers are and where people are actually paying money for our products. And also where our talents, you know, most fit in and where we have the most creative freedom. So I think that's understandable by anyone who just listened to that.
Yeah.
So true. Tell us a little bit about some of the exciting aspects you're seeing coming from Prepare 3D. Maybe some of the details of what Weather does in P3D that's different than what you've seen in FSX. Because I know that with version 2.2, they just introduced cloud shadows. So kind of some new cool things coming out. And obviously those are things that I'm sure you guys are passionate about. So what are some of the things that you've seen coming from there that are exciting?
Well, what we know behind the scenes, we really can't talk about.
Of course. Yeah, of course not.
So really the core Weather platform, to be honest, is beyond the volumetric fog, beyond the cloud shadows, beyond some of the better control of the visibility, distance visibility and masking. There's really not much that has been done thus far. Mm-hmm. Thus far that is out in regards to the Weather platform. There's not.
Great.
So sorry to be so gloom here, but it's just truly, you know, and of course beyond the interface itself that they've, you know, done some stuff here and there. It's just there's not much yet that's new.
No, that's fine. We're all plenty happy, but I think even some of those new. I mean, we say we only have cloud shadows. We only have volumetric fog. Those things are pretty cool. I mean, that's something we've always wanted. And
Oh yeah. I mean, that adds so much more dimension to it. To see a cloud rolling across the sky and shadows to be associated with that is so much different. it just gives
you a sense of depth. You see the depth sense and, you know, your height, you know, things start becoming more scaled properly.
Yeah, for sure.
Sometimes in FSX, am I 3,000, you know, 5,000, where am I at? The trees are oversized and, you know, it's a lot of things they've done really cool.
Right.
But again, you know, all the newer stuff, we just, you know, obviously can't talk about.
Yeah. Well, sounds exciting. And little teasers there. Okay, so we've talked a lot about the software you guys provide. First of all, I don't know the answer to this actually myself. Do you guys have some sort of trial that people can try out, or is it one of those things they just kind of have to dive in?
A trial software at all?
Yeah.
We don't offer any trial software at this point. Yeah, that's, you know, we've talked about that back and forth. And at this point, we're not looking to change that philosophy. But you know, you never know. We're open to whatever happens.
Yeah. Really, so, largely it's what you see is what you get too. So it's not like you're actually getting in and with a lot of things, getting the functionality of it too. I mean, people are going to be convinced even by the visuals that you guys provide with what you do. So I challenge the listeners here to go to realenvironmentextreme.com, check out what these guys do from a visual perspective. It's great stuff. I mean, you will not have,
or
go ahead
or rexdirectexperience.com.
Yep. Yeah, I've got that down here too in the show notes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we did that. We had a certain direction we were moving with the newer version products, and we got the domain, and it was well before we really made a plan. So I think a lot of folks are getting confused with, you know, the multiple websites. So what we're going to be doing next, or what's in process now, is our web development team is putting together all the websites into kind of one, which most people have bookmarked as realenvironmentextreme.com. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be including all products from here on out onto that site, so people aren't confused as to what, you know, what's what.
Right.
A lot of people go, before we start incorporating some of the newer products on that site, people were like, I didn't know you had a new product coming out, or it was already released, and we purchased this. And so we're starting to tie in everything together into that one domain, which is realenvironmentextreme.com. So.
Great.
But we'll always have the Rex Direct Experience up there. Who knows? We might do something completely different with it as our next incarnation of products come about.
Great. So. And you guys, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Well, I was just gonna jump in and say, can we open up the can of worms about Simair?
Yeah, go ahead. I didn't even put that in the show notes, but I see that everything that you guys have, you know, your Skype logos, all that stuff, it all has Simair on it. So yeah, I mean, go for that before we even get into the flight training portion, because I definitely want to hear about it.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to just take this opportunity to talk about that, because we get a lot of positive and some negative feedback, and I understand people where they're at, you know. Let me just, I kind of want to talk about the history real quick, is about Simair. When we first started putting together the plans for Simair, which have changed from our original development aspect or design features that we had way back when we first started talking about it, to even now. Originally, when we first started talking about it and so forth, there was this period of time where we were pushing it and promoting it, and you know, we were in the process of developing it. In the process of doing that, also as a company, we were trademarking the name. Well, there was a much larger game studio that has a lot more money than Rex Game Studios does, and a lot more clout. We won't mention their names or their initials. Did not like the idea that we were using the word sim, and using just the word Simair. Not that they were going to plan on using that word, but they just did not like the idea, and their lawyers had contacted us. And so for a period of time, a rather lengthy period of time, we went back and forth on trying to agree how we would handle this and the classification and so forth, which, you know, involves a lot of money, a lot of time, and a lot of effort. So therefore, because of that, not knowing whether we were going to be able to go forward with Simair or not, we had to basically shelve it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think, in a way,
well, a lot of people thought we, you know, oh, they have a legal dispute with the name. What does that do with the development? Well, development has everything to do with it, because if you can't get into the genre of gaming under the gaming genre and getting registered under trademark authority with that name or any other name, you had to get basically approval from them.
Yeah,
right.
They're so big. You really truly had to get approval from them, because to move forward, it would be silly for us if we knew that there was going to be still a legal battle. So we kind of shelved it until we got done with the suit, the action,
yeah,
whatever you want to call it. So
right.
I'm sorry, Reed.
Now, in the meantime of all that happening, we as a company have to continue to maintain our abilities to survive and maintain with what the market's doing. So our efforts in development have been focused on what we're currently doing and what we've been developing for Rex Direct. I mean, Rex Direct just didn't happen overnight. The textures and so forth that they currently are using are not something that was just overnight that we put together in a few months. That has taken almost a year and a half of putting that together alone. At the same time, you know, we were in the process. We're now into the third aspect of WeatherDirect now. We had one version about a year ago or about a year and a half ago when we started putting together texture, all the Direct products. And it was very similar to what Rex Essentials was. And then we decided, no, let's go a different route. We went a different route, and now we're going a totally different route with WeatherDirect. So even with that, now bring us back to Samara. Where are we at with Samara? I want to make sure everybody understands where we're at. We are still actively developing on Samara. Samara is not a dead product. Our goals with Samara have changed over this last three years or so since we originally talked about Samara. It is a goal to bring a new type of multiplayer environment to the flight sim community in regards to managing a flight an air carrier or being a pilot and so forth. All those goals are the same that we've talked about, but it's much more than that, and we are taking it to a level that's even like with WeatherDirect, where you're looking for ways to do something that's never been done before and trying to bring those together and relate the products even together. I mean, that in itself is a massive undertaking in the back end. WeatherDirect, because it is a multiplayer program and it will be a multiplayer game really in itself. I mean, technically, you don't even have to have Flight Sim to run this game, because it really, we look at it as a game, but it is a game that can be used with Flight Sim, with FSX or Prepared 3D, and even down the road, hopefully with X-Plane and so forth. The back end of it in itself was a huge task, and we spent over a year just developing the database for that and preparing the services and the servers for that to get it ready to be able to do that. So it is in development. We are hoping to, within the latter part of this year, to begin to expose more details about it. We've been talking about how we would go about doing it, because it is a very detailed and in-depth product, but a fun product. And we think it's going to be a game changer, obviously. I mean, I know everybody probably says that about their product, but we really think it's going to be a game changer. And we just don't want people to be discouraged if we're being tight-lipped about it right now. And primarily, we're being tight-lipped because we're focused on developing, and we're focused on what we need to put together to make it what we want it to be, what our goals are for that product, as well as WeatherDirect. We've expanded as a company than what we have before, just employee-wise, because, Tim and I were very heavily involved with the whole support aspect, and we're still very heavily involved, but we've had to pull back from that because we've had to really focus on development aspects and so forth, making sure our team is focused on what it's doing. So anyway, long story short, Samara is not dead. It will happen. I cannot give you a date, and I'm not going to give a date. So if you ask, we're not going to tell you. But do expect within the latter half of this year, we will be talking a lot more about it.
Great.
As well as other things. So,
well, it sounds like you guys are you got some excited customers that are asking a lot of questions about it. But all good things come to those who wait, right? So
right,
it'll all work out in the end. All right, so yep. I want to talk a little bit before we close here about the real world applications of your software. Are you guys seeing any commercial simulators, for example, people that actually train pilots using your software in their simulators?
Oh, we get emails all the time.
Great.
Yeah. We get email correspondence all the time from real world pilots, real world simulators out there. We just had a video posted in our forum. I remember a few weeks back, another very well known simulator showing use with Rex, and it's amazing. It's truly amazing seeing a cockpit, a full fledged simulator cockpit with visuals that look real. You almost have to kind of do a double take.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, and we constantly get emails, just real world pilots with their own experiences, and we're thinking about getting up a page on our website, mm-hmm. and just to share those with people, so they really understand that this is what pilots are actually saying.
Right, right.
Because it's you know you get you know, a lot of times you'll get nasty people in our forums that just nasty comments, only to find out they're really young kids, and it's just the way it is. So they're how unrealistic this is or this, and we try to help them along, but some people just can't don't want to listen,
right?
And to hear these kind of experiences from real world pilots, it's just crucial to be able to share that with others, and just so that people that aren't real pilots get to see what real pilots are sensing from the use of our products.
Right, right.
So we're probably going to go ahead and put up a website page just to kind of share those experiences, with permission, of course, from these people. So be on the lookout for that. I think it'd be really smart to do.
Yeah. At the end of the day, as a pilot training with a simulator, whether that's a simulator I have here at home or whether it's one at my flight school, just as we do with the hobby end of flight simulation, which is wanting more realism all the time, having that in the cockpit is even more important when you're actually learning the real thing, so those visuals are familiar, so you're immersed into it, and so there's that believability. I think one of the things as far as actual flight training is the more you can forget that you're actually using a simulator, the more that experience is going to be beneficial for your actual training. Oh,
absolutely.
So you just, you forget that I'm in a simulator and you're just running through a scenario and you totally forget that it's not real, and you're sweating. And I've even heard situations where guys come out of the simulator crying because the instructor finally broke them down so much that they finally gave in. Anyway, so that's cool to hear that.
Well, it's
people
true.
You don't want to be.
It's true. You don't want to be faced. You're in a simulator. We don't want to be faced with cartoon.
Right. Right.
A cartoon feel. I mean, that just distracts away from the realism. Again, you're just distracted. It's just another distraction. Mm-hmm. So,
but it's really odd because if you look at the quality of simulators that are out there within the real world training space, you see that these simulators that are FAA approved or government approved, they do not have the visual aspects down. They do not have the realism that we have and have enjoyed for a long time, even in a platform like FS 2004 years ago. They don't have that type of visuals. I've related this story before, but I went through some training with flight safety and did kind of a fixed-based bonanza training there, but it was a full cockpit, 180-degree wraparound. And I remember that we were in Teterboro, and we took off, and Long Island is around there and things like that. And the instructor says, "Oh, look how amazing this is. It's absolutely perfect." I'm like, "Dude, what are you talking about? It's like flat textures. There's no autogen. There's no clouds. This is terrible. How could you even say that?" And I didn't actually say that to him, but that's what I was thinking in my mind. And you go back to the customers, kind of maybe complaining about quality here and there. I find that flight sim customers are much more opinionated than actual pilots. I feel that actual pilots often jump in quite a bit and they're just amazed at what they see. So
sure,
kind of interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for those of you who listen to the podcast and you're using a simulator at home or at your flight school, this is definitely one of those things where you've got to get your environment in check, especially if you're using a simulator for instrument training. You should absolutely, absolutely have Rex installed. There's zero reason why you shouldn't, because you get so much use out of it, so much believability of your environment that it just pays off. All right, guys, any other comments before we kind of wrap up the show? Anything you want to tell the listeners?
Well, just thank you to everyone that's out there that's been a part of as a customer, support to Rex. We greatly appreciate everyone that has purchased recs in the past and has contributed ideas and thoughts and suggestions, sometimes patiently. you know, I mean, it's nothing's ever perfect. And we're grateful. We're extremely grateful to be able to be in this industry and to hopefully take it to a new level with the new products that are going to be coming out. We hope we just amaze people and really please them. Our goal is to please them, and our goal is to bring them to a new level that they've never experienced before. And we're really looking forward to the new products that are coming out, and hope we're able to be successful. I think in our minds, we'll always be like, "Well, we could probably do better here," but you know, I really hope that this will blow people away.
Great. So, Tim, anything from you?
Thank you. No, it's the same sentiments. I mean, thank you. It's been a ride, and we're continuing to push the boundaries, and we appreciate your support, everybody.
Yep.
So, well, thank you guys so much. You have really made a huge impact on this community, and I can't say that enough, but I've always really appreciated the products that you guys have and what you've done for just the platform and the term, the definition of flight simulation. You guys have done such an amazing job creating that environment. And I look forward to every single product that comes out. You know, I was on your forums last night looking at some of the kind of the freebies you guys have on there. I'm going to put some links to those. You had some amazing ENB Plus looks that I'm going to download. So, you know, you guys are just so involved. I love the business end of what you're doing too, how committed you are to quality, how committed you are to your customers and getting their feedback and improving the product and not releasing a product when it's just not right. You know, at the end of the day, it shows, and you guys release high quality stuff, and I just can't say that enough. So thank you guys.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you for kind words. Very much so. Thank you.
All right. Well, we'll wrap it up, guys. We'll talk again some other time. Thanks.
Chris, thanks again.
Thank you.
Take care. Pleasure. All right, so a big thanks go out to Tim and Reed from Real Environment Extreme for joining us today and telling us more about their products. Now, these guys have always done absolute top-notch quality stuff, and I really can't say enough for the great software they have, the great textures that it puts into your simulator, and I definitely believe it's one of the core pieces of software that everyone should have for their simulator. So you can check these guys out at realenvironmentextreme.com. You can also check them out at rexexperience.com, I believe it is. Actually, it's rexdirectexperience.com. Both of those are kind of two different websites that they have. Both have different information. Check them both out. And I'll also put links to several of their things in the show notes for this episode, which can be found at aviatorcast.com. And then just navigate to episode 26, and you'll find information there. So again, huge, huge thanks to Tim and Reed for taking the time out of their obviously busy schedule to be with us on AviatorCast today. It is much appreciated, and we wish them the best in their future endeavors. They will no doubt continue to do a fantastic job. So that's it for the Hangar Talk portion, and now we're going to wrap the show up. We'd love to hear your thoughts. You can truly shape this show and the topics we provide. Take a quick 2-minute survey at survey.aviatorcast.com. Do you want to be a part of the AviatorCast community or leave a comment about this episode? Go to aviatorcast.com to join in, or write me directly at me@aviatorcast.com. Say you don't want to miss an episode of AviatorCast? No worries. You can subscribe through email at aviatorcast.com or iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, or SoundCloud. iTunes is the primary place to subscribe. It's kind of the easiest place to subscribe. We'd also love to get an honest review from you on iTunes. This helps others learn more about AviatorCast so that they can enjoy it as well. It's one of the primary sources where people can learn that this podcast is out there. We try to get some really great guests on the show like Tim and Reed, so they can kind of reach out to their communities and let them know about AviatorCast as well. And so we can all kind of commune, and that, you know, that's the core word of community is commune. So, you know, even though we try to make those efforts, there are still people out there that aren't really reached unless it's through something like iTunes. So if you do like this show, please review us on iTunes if you don't do anything else. If you'd like to check out some of our training products here at Angle of Attack, head to flyaoamedia.com. Start with the basics for free with Aviator 90. Learn instrument flying and more with Aviator Pro, or even fly many of the world's most popular jets virtually with our training products for the 737, 747, 777, and MD-11. Again, at flyaoamedia.com. Many thanks also go out to the Angle of Attack crew for all of their hard work to make this episode possible and all they do outside of AviatorCast. These guys are absolutely awesome. And thank you so much for joining us on this episode of AviatorCast. We are truly grateful to have you here, part of our community, and so engaged in this wonderful passion for flying things. Until next time, throttle on.
5-8 is ready. 5-8 in the shoreline, turn left heading 235. Maintain 2000, runway 25 right. Clear for takeoff.
Clear for takeoff, 25 right, United 580.